This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defense on FNX, StadiumScene.tv and Radio Football. I'm your host, Stel, and on this episode I was joined by none other than the Norwegian men's national team assistant head coach, Per Johansen. We spoke about Norway's Euro 2020 qualifying campaign so far, Erling Haaland's potential, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's tenure as Man United manager, and Henning Berg, who has been recently appointed the Omonia Nicosia head coach. So here it is. Well, Per, thank you again for joining me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you in the past. Your information about the Norwegian national team came as a great help to us. And I've been looking at the Euro 2020 qualifying campaign. And since we last spoke, they lost in Spain, drew against Sweden and Romania, and beat the Faroe Islands. So you got your four games in with 5 points. Are you a little disappointed it isn't nine, given the two-goal leads against Sweden and Romania were squandered?
Yeah, we are. We are disappointed. We was a little bit lucky against Spain. We just lost 2-1, but Spain was very good, so we was pleased with that result in terms of goal difference. That could be crucial in the end. But when we met Sweden at home, we played 3-3. We was leading 2-0. We played very good in 60 minutes, but the last 30 minutes in that game, Sweden was good and also lucky. But we scored a goal in the 95th minute, and we got 3-3 in the end. So one point there. Now in June we played very well against Romania. We was the best team. We controlled the game and was leading 2-0 after 75 minutes, and then they scored a goal in a corner, and then they also get an equalizer in the 92nd minute. So very disappointed result, because we meant we should have closed that game in the earlier stage, but that's football, so we have to live by the result. So disappointed loss of points also against Sweden and also against Romania. So but we have the points we have, it's deserved. So we have to step up in September and try to beat Sweden away.
Yeah, the thing is, it doesn't seem that you're struggling, because scoring goals isn't a problem. But would you say some of the goals conceded were due to perhaps lapses in concentration more than anything? Because you mentioned that the Sweden game, I know one was from a penalty, which the goalkeeper saved and they scored the rebound. Then the second was a deflected goal. But do you think maybe there's a little bit of, I wouldn't say mental fragility there, but do you think the players kind of, their heads drop when they concede a goal because they're a bit worried as to what can happen after?
Maybe. We have a very young team, and we have many players that is very young. I think in terms of rest of the Europe, so we have Christopher Ayer, 21, centre back. We have Sander Berge, 20 years, central midfielder, and we have Thomas Ødegaard, 20 years. So we have three players, 20 years, but and also many other players have. If you see the teams who goes to the winning a group in the qualification, they have, many of the players have 30, 40. Caps for the national team, and we have many players that maybe have 10, 15 caps. So a little bit lack of routine, maybe, I can say.
That's fair enough. Well, we spoke about Odegaard last time you were on the show, and he's been pretty impressive in the games that he's played. There's more to come from him, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. We have developed a lot this season in Vitesse, and he have, I think, eight goals and 10, 11 assists, and they have been more the best players in Vitesse, and you see how important it is for young players to choose the right club, the right coach, and the right level. So last season in Heerenveen, he also played well, but he has not as good teammates around him. And this year he has better teammates, and then he gets his goals and assists.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, one player that is really stood out for me is Bjørn Jonsson, a gentleman who was at Hearts a few seasons ago. He's now at AZ Alkmaar. He scored twice against the Faroes, scored against, was it Romania he scored, or was it the, it was Sweden.
He scored, yeah.
You know, and he seems to be doing a job whenever he's asked to come in.
Yeah, he's a big man, you know, he's... he's close to 2 meters, so he's a handful in the air. So we want the ball in the box as often as we can, and he have scored a lot of very important goals for us since we bringing him to the squad. He was he equalized against Slovenia when we won the group in Nation League, and he also scores against Faroe Islands and scores against Sweden. So he has been very important for us.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about another striker that is quite tall, and he looks like he's a bit of a handful, and that's Erling Haaland. I know Norway's under 20 World Cup campaign wasn't great, but Haaland stole the headlines with 9 goals against Honduras. what can you tell us about this young man? Because all I know is that he's Alfie Haaland's son, and he's played twice for Salzburg.
Yeah. He's a very talented guy, and he has developed a lot the last 2-3 years. And he's just 18-19 years, so he has much to develop before he can. He is a Finnish player as a striker, but he has a very big, very good physical and strong player. He is fast, and he has a very good left foot. He have good skills in his shooting. And we saw that against Honduras in the World Cup. He scored nine times against them, and all of the goals was very good efforts.
He scored one against Uruguay, but that was given as offside. And he does seem to have a predatory instinct in front of goal, which is something that you really need as a striker, obviously.
Yeah, he is a very tough guy in the penalty area, and he is very strong. And he can shoot, and he also good in the air, and as you say, he has developed a lot the last 1.5 year. First in he was in Molde with Ole Gunnar before Ole Gunnar went to Manchester United, and he got a lot of chances there, and I think he scored 9-10 goals as a 17-year-old lad in the top division here in Norway, and that. That's very, very good. But you see, he has a lot of things to learn, but he's very humble and humble guy. So he knows that he has things to work with before he can call himself a top striker in Europe.
He probably needs a couple more seasons at Salzburg to really develop, but he's got a lot of potential, and people are already talking about him possibly joining United. Do you think that could happen, even though his dad played for City?
this question you have to ask Ole Gunnar, but I can't answer that question. But I think he's in a very good environment for him right now in Salzburg. Salzburg is a big club in Austria, and they also play regularly in Europe, and it's a big club with big demands, and they have also a history to develop players. So I think for Erling, it's a right step for him right now, and then we'll see in a couple of years. Maybe United will, or City will buy him.
Oh, don't say City, please. It hurts my feelings. Well, look, let's talk about Ollie, because he's had a mixed start to his time as head coach at United. And with the news that Pogba is looking for a new challenge, his job has got a bit more difficult. Are you confident he can turn it round?
It's not an easy job taking over Manchester United like now, because you know they have four coaches after Sir Alex, isn't it? It's Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho, and now Ole Gunnar, and I think you need some transfer windows to build a new squad and bringing in your own culture, your own staff, and everything. But if there is someone who knows the club well, very well, that's Ole Gunnar. He has been there for his whole career, and I hope he gets time to rebuild the club. But you know, in a club like Manchester United, you have to win every Saturday. So yeah. it will not be easy. But I hope he will get his time and he can rebuild the club.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I know he signed Daniel James, who's a very, very explosive winger. How do you think United's system will be next season? Will he be very counter-attack minded, or do you think he'll be going for the jugular practically every game?
I think Manchester United is a club historical that want to dominate games. So I think, but in today's football, you know, it's very many good teams. So in every games, home away, the opponents also get their periods in the games that they get chances and create chances. So in today's football, you have to attack, and you also have to defend, and you have to find the right balance with those. So I think, first of all, Manchester United want to dominate, but they also have to play games that they were, yeah, they have to be good at counter-attacks against Liverpool, City, Tottenham, Chelsea. It's many good opponents now in Premier League. It's easy to always think backwards and good old days, but football today has developed, and United have 6-7 good teams they are competing with. So it's not easy, but hopefully they will progress this season.
Great stuff. Well, on a final note, another club that's close to my heart is Omonia Nicosia, who recently appointed Henning Berg as head coach. Now, this is a very interesting move for Henning, purely because he's joined a club that mirrors Man United in the sense that Omonia used to dominate the Cypriot League, but they've now fallen from a great height and are actually looking up at their rivals, who are now the team to beat, like Apoel Nicosia. What do you know about Berg's managerial reputation, and can he wake up this sleeping giant of the Cypriot League?
I can't. I'm not knowing the Cypriot football very well. I see the best clubs there buying a lot of foreigners, so they're playing with nearly 11 foreigners in the team, and the Cypriot players are almost most of them sitting on the bench. But yep. I think the 2-3 of the best team in Cyprus, they have done well in Europe the last couple of years, especially Apoel and AL. I think AL
Larnac. Yeah.
But Omonia Nicosia, I don't know them very well. So hopefully Henning will get his time there, because, as you say, they are firing a manager 2, 3, 4 times a year.
Yeah, they've had 10 head coaches in the last 5 seasons, so it's not a surprise there isn't any consistency. Well, there is some consistency. They're consistently sacking managers, and you're looking at a team that's won 20 league titles. They finished 6th last season, but they've had some decent players over these. I mean, I know Matt Derbyshire, that was at Blackburn, I think, when Henning Berg had his second stint there. I think that Matt Derbyshire was there. He's actually at Almonia at the moment. There's Jordi Gomez that was at Wigan. So they do have some decent players. But then when you look at the standard of the Cypriot League, I think 5 out of the 6 top goal scorers were over 30 last season. It's more like a retirement home. But I think it's a huge task for Henning, because you're looking at a club, as I said, they've won 20 league titles. Before Upwell became the team that they are, it was mostly Omonia winning league titles, with Ael and Anorthosi, the two teams chasing them. So for Henning to get this job, he's won the Polish league title, he's got the experience in Norway and in Hungary. So I think it's a big challenge for him. But at the same time, I'm a bit worried that they won't give him enough time, because they had John Carver there for a few months.
Yeah.
And he's got a very decent reputation as a coach, but he just couldn't do it. So I really hope it works well for Henning, because it's a huge task, regardless of how small this team is in comparison to all the others he's been in charge of.
Yeah, hopefully Henning will turn things around there. But as you said, it's not easy, because the 2, 3 best club now have a big advantages because they have earned so much money in Europe. So it's not easy if the transfer budget is a lot smaller than the 3, 4 bigger club there. So it's not an easy task, but I know Henning and they have been talking to the board there, so maybe they will give him some opportunities to get in some fresh players and start building something.
Great stuff. Well, next time you speak to him, please wish him all the best from me, because it hurts me to see Omonia languishing mid-table.
I will.
Great stuff. Well, Per, thank you ever so much again for joining me. Really, really appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again sometime and talk about other leagues as well. I don't want to just bring you on to talk about the Norwegian league, because you're thinking, oh, this guy again.
That's my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Per. You have a lovely day. All the best
to you too.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.